Welcome, everybody, to Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope in, well, Clearwater, Florida. My name is Jim Ellsbury. I'm the associate pastor. Pastor Marcia, who normally hosts the show, is on vacation, which is a wonderful thing for her. We're very glad. And so I get to host today, and I am joined in the studio with Nan Watson. Hey, Nan.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hey, and we'll be joined at 3:15-ish by Cindy Logan, one of our, we'll call her a Beaconite in absentia. She used to go to Pastor's Church, or went to Pastor's Church, when Pastor was up in Indiana and pastored a church up there. Now she's pastoring a church, well, of course, here, but Cindy used to be a member of that church up in Indiana, so she'll be joining us. She is a part of the radio team. Again, I want to welcome everyone. If you're in the Clearwater area, you know we are in the middle of a really heavy rain, so it's a delightful day in Clearwater. I'm hoping it's nicer up in Indiana, but I'm sure Cindy will fill us in on that. Again, I just want to welcome everybody. It is such a pleasure to be on the air. I've been helping out with this since 2009, and I really enjoyed doing it. It's a great way for me to spend a Sunday afternoon just sharing the Word of God, listening to some really good music. And we've been talking at church about heaven. We started that last week, the week after the resurrection. We've been talking about heaven, which is a great topic. We're going to continue with that today. I told Pastor Marcia this morning after church, this is definitely going to be led by the Lord, because I'm not 100% sure. The Lord gave me one scripture, so we're going to be doing this show by faith, which is great. And I just want to invite you, if you happen to be in the Clearwater, North Pinellas, or Pinellas County, Pasco County, Hillsborough County area, we do meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Pastor Marcia's house in Palm Harbor. You can email Pastor Marcia or myself. Pastor Marcia's email address is pastor@bohmglobal.com. And my email address is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. We'll be more than happy to give you directions and everything. If you are in the area, it's a great time of fellowship. We praise God. We get into the Word. We've been having communion every Sunday, which is really different for Beacon of Hope, but it's been really good, I think. Right, Nan?
It's been, it helps us to focus and refocus and refocus on just what He did for us. And, when He shared with the disciples and told them, what was to come, and this is my bread, and this, my body, and this is representative of my blood, just what He was getting ready to do, He was preparing them.
Right, right. And I know, I went to a church for a while, a couple of churches actually, that did communion every Sunday, and I got quite bored with it, because it was the same thing, and it became a ritual. And that's one thing I like, because we have the freedom to kind of mix it up every week, so it's not just a ritual. So that's a really good thing. So again, and also, you can listen to this show, our wonderful engineer Pete is here doing the engineering, which is what Pastor Marcia normally does, but Pete's here doing it. And Pete will have us up online on the Tantalk website, which is great, which is Tantalk1340.com. That'll be after the show.
Tantalknetwork.com.
Oh, I am sorry. Yes. Y'all keep expanding. It was just the AM station, a couple of AM stations. Now you got FM stations springing up like mushrooms.
We do. We got two FM stations, 104.3 and, of course, 106.1 live here in Clearwater.
Yeah, great. So, all right, tantalknetwork.com. But Pete will have that up for us. And then at the end of the month, all of those radio broadcasts from the month go on to Beacon of Hope's website, which is bohmglobal.com. A couple of other things that are going on in with Beacon is we also have a second show on Thursday nights, which is Go Yard. And I think I'll have Nan talk a little bit about that because I know she is an avid listener.
I love that program. They touch on so many different areas of our lives. If it, you know, you can go back and listen to them on our on their website, which is on their website,
goyard2016.org.
Yes. And they have a lot of shows on there. They're listed by title, and I'm sure you can find something that applies, is applicable to your life. You can listen to it. It's like free counseling, is the way I look at it. It's free counseling. And you can call in, too. So that's really free counseling. You can call in with a question. They'll give you an answer.
Right. It's a life coaching show that has Pastor Marcia under her other name, which is Mama Mac, and then, of course, Dr. Angel. So it's a great show. And also then we have a nursing home ministry, which we do once a month. The first Sunday of every month, we go to Palm Garden Nursing Home up on Curlew and McMullen Booth here in Clearwater and minister. We do a church service, and that is such a blessing to do that. You know, we have, it's like we're just all family, and it's really good. It's really fun. So, I invite you to get your Bibles, because we will be doing a lot of talking about the Word today and about heaven. I think that's kind of a misunderstood thing. People think that a lot of times Christians are too heavenly-minded to be any earthly good. I've heard that leveled against us. But I wanted to talk about our hope. The hope of heaven, the hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then you're still in your sins. And your faith is futile. And I want to go into that a little bit more. But I want to start with a song. It's an old, old song. You know me, when I get on here to host, I always play a bunch of old stuff. But this is The Victor by Keith Green.
Swallowed it to earth's dark womb. Death has triumphed, that's what they say. But try to hold him in the tomb, the Son of Life. Rose on the third day, just look, the gates of hell, they're falling, crawling from the inside out. He's bursting through the walls with laughter. Ha. Listen to the angel shout, listen. He has done it. Life conquered death. Jesus Christ has won it. His plan of battle, you know it, it fooled them all. They led him off to prison to die.
Oh, I love that song.
I couldn't tell. Looked like you were going to get up and dance in the chair, man.
I love that song. Well, it's so true. We don't serve a martyr or a good teacher. We serve the living Son of God.
Right.
The resurrected Son of God. And I just, of course, you know, waiting on the Spirit, things change. I want to start with a verse in Romans now. Then I'm going to kind of then lead into where Pastor finished off this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. But in Romans chapter 1, and this is Paul's letter to the church in Rome, written approximately 56 A.D., Paul writes, you know, he starts out his letter with, this letter is from Paul. This is chapter 1, verse 1. A slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach the good news. God promised the good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And we spent a lot of time talking about that, how God, you know, prophesied. There's prophecies all through the Old Testament about Jesus and how he, you know, where he would be born, when he would be born, his ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection. All of that God gave to the prophets. And then it says, the good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And we know that both Joseph, who was the legal father, not the biological father, but the legal father, and Mary, who was his mother, were both descended of David. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Incredibly important verse. He was shown to be, and some translated, he was shown to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection. That's the most important thing. That's the seal on everything that Jesus did, everything he said. This was the seal of it. Remember, he talked about how he just went about doing the Father's will and wanting to do what he saw the Father doing. And this was the confirmation that he was who he said he was. The resurrection of Jesus sets true Christianity apart from any other religion. Because in the case of Christianity, it is not man trying to reach out to God. It's God reaching out to humankind, dying for humankind, and then rising again. So I want to jump back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul says in verse 3, I passed on to you what was most important, not what was kind of important, but what is most important, and what had also been passed on to me. So Paul saying, this is the information I got, and it's so important, I have to give it to you. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as Scripture said. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom, Paul says, are still alive. Though some have died. Then he was seen by James, later by all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to Paul. Paul says that's the most important thing right there. That's the gospel. I know in one of my Bibles I have it written off to the side. The gospel in a nutshell, right there. Christ died for our sins. He rose again on the third day. Okay? If we think back to what Paul wrote, I know I'm preaching, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
I know what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10. How do you get saved? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's what it is right here. That's what it says right here, that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. Without that resurrection, we would not have a faith. We would not be able. I mean, it would be like any other religion. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be like any other religion. Oh, yeah, we had a good teacher. People didn't like him. They killed him. He's our martyr. All right? And the difference is, and Jesus was not just a man. Okay? Pastor even went over Luke chapter 2 today. I'm going to just give a real quick synopsis of Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her something miraculous. She was going to have a baby. Now, Mary was a virgin. There's no human way she could have a baby. And she says, okay, how is this going to happen? She believed it would. And she asked Gabriel, how is this going to happen? And Gabriel said, the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that Greek word is the same word that's used when the cloud came down on Jesus and Peter and James and John at the Mount of Transfiguration. So what was going to happen is the glory cloud was going to surround Mary. And I don't know how it happened. God took one of her eggs and boom, all of a sudden it's fertilized. You got Jesus in there. So Jesus is fully God. He eternally existed with the Father. And yet he's also fully human. I used to pride myself as a new Christian. I was a Jesus freak, but I was also an intellectual Jesus freak, and I was always working on trying to figure this out. And then I realized, you know what? That's why they call it a mystery. Because we're not going to know how this happened or how fully God, fully man can live in the same space, but somehow they did. And I don't claim to understand. I believe it because that's the testimony of the Bible. The testimony of the Bible is that Jesus is fully God and is fully man, fully human. So, but Paul says, you know what? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is useless. Why bother? I like this in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are there some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? Okay? Why are they saying there's no resurrection of the dead? Oh, let me just break off here and say, hi, Cindy.
Hi, Pastor Jim.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Nan. I'm so excited to be on the show with you guys today.
Oh, we're excited to have you.
I know when Nan's on, God is really going to do some big stuff.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what it is, but he brings it on when she's on the show.
Oh, so. you're too kind.
I'm so excited.
Good.
Yes,
everybody.
Hey, good one. Real quick, what's the weather like up there?
You got to open your front door to see what season we're going to do today.
Gotcha, okay.
Today is a nice spring rainy day. It's stopped, but it's about 60s. Not too bad. The birds are chirping.
Well, that's good. Well, they're standing under their umbrellas here. It's really, really raining. So.
We had it all night long. It was nice sleeping weather this morning.
Oh, well, yeah, it's nice sleeping weather this afternoon, which is why we're glad to be on the radio so we can be awake. So, well, it's really good to have you, Cindy. We've been talking about why it's important. You know, why the resurrection is important. And we're in 1 Corinthians 15. And, you know, Paul goes on to say in verse 13, for if there's no resurrection of the dead, speaking about the general resurrection when Jesus comes back, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. Without the resurrection, it's just useless. You know, why bother, basically, is what Paul is saying. And, you know, he goes on to say that we'd be lying about God. And in verse 16, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, in verse 17, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. Without the resurrection, there's no hope of forgiveness. And, you know, that's really what Christianity is based on, right, Cindy? The forgiveness that we have in Jesus.
Well, that is the hope of the whole message, of that. That's the foundation, right? That's the reason we can tell people that they can be forgiven, or that we believe it ourselves that we can be forgiven without that sacrifice. I mean, what is the message?
Exactly. And
what do we have to hold on to?
Right, exactly. And the book of Hebrews says that Jesus took his own blood and appeared before the heavenly mercy seat, you know, in the tabernacle in heaven. He went there and took his blood before the Father, and the Father said, it is enough. Now, he did that not after he died. He did that after his resurrection. And if you remember in John 20, when Mary and the other women, or Mary, saw him, you know, after the resurrection, she fell at his feet. She's going to grab his feet, and he said, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God. He still had to make a trip to heaven before the Father, and then he, of course, came back that later that evening and appeared with appeared to the disciples. But it's so important. Paul says that's how important the resurrection is. And it's almost impossible to stress that enough, because without the resurrection, I might as well be a Buddhist, I suppose. You know? And obviously, I'm not going to be, so nobody panic out there, especially Pastor Marcia, if you're listening to this. I have no intention of becoming a Buddhist because, as the song says, I serve a risen Savior. And, you know, it's because he's alive that we have a living faith. We don't have a dead faith. We have a living faith because Jesus Christ is alive. And that gives us that hope. So here's a song by Matt Maurer, which he kind of took from the Gaithers, and it's called Because He Lives, Amen.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my soul covered in sin and shame, I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the sun away. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen.
Oh, praise God. I love that song too. I believe Nan may have something for us. Correct, Nan?
Correct, Pastor Jim. A poem that he just inspired. My son gave his life for you. He's alive. He certainly is. He loves you so very much. Are you one of his? If you don't have him living and reigning within you, you could experience that today. Here's what you need to do. Once you accept him into your life, you'll be oh so set free. So what will it be, little one, of your need? Do you see? Yeah, and the poems that he's been inspiring for the last little while on the radio show has been questions to the listeners. Questions, and that one is a question: Do you realize your need to be set free? Do you want to be set free?
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen. That's really good because it's we need to ask those questions. And people need to ask those questions, and we as believers need to be able to give them answers. Peter says that, you know, that we should be able ready at any time, and Paul also, to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And there's that word again. Cindy mentioned it first, you know, for that hope that we have. And what is that hope that we have, Cindy?
Well, it's a living knowing for me. I was, you know, the Lord spoke to me while you were talking, you know, previously about the living Jesus. I guess I've always known that he was alive from a small child. I've just known. So in every circumstance, he protected or covered me with his blood, his grace, whatever. I knew he was real. I knew he was living. So each time that happens in my life, there's my hope grows. I get really faced up more and more every time there's a thing that God does.
Mm-hmm.
He tells me he's alive, he's real, he's living, he hears, he cares, all those things. So
yeah.
That's what gives me hope.
Right. And
if you get through this, it's going to work out because God's got you in his hands. I mean, that just becomes a living thing that I know, that I believe, that comes out of my mouth. It's life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know, we've talked about the concept of hope. You know, now these three abide: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, of course, is love. But faith is now. Okay, faith is like Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now, faith is the substance. Faith is right now. Hope is in the future. And I want to make it clear, we're not talking about, oh, I hope this will happen or I hope that will happen. Biblical hope is completely different from that because it's rooted in the promises in God's word. Bible hope is not just wishful thinking. Bible hope is rooted in what God has promised each one of us. And I don't know how many promises there are in the Bible, hundreds, thousands. And God has said, don't worry, don't fear, I'm a trustworthy God. God is true to his word. You know, he will do what he says he's going to do. And I want to flip over to Hebrews chapter 6. This was the original verse that we were going to talk about, but, you know, God has his own way. But the writer of Hebrews is talking about God's promises bring hope. And in chapter 6, he's talking about, you know, the promise that he gave to Abraham. And starting with verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 6, he says, "For God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore," I was told one time, long time ago, always see what therefore is there for. "And therefore we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies. And, you know, I picture this as, you know, what does an anchor do to a ship?
Holds it steady, holds it in one place.
Exactly. Holds it in one place. It steadies it. And that's what we have, because Jesus has already gone into the Holy of Holies. We have that anchor that's firmly anchored there as an eternal hope. Okay? And hope now is, you know, it's not just, again, wishful thinking, but it's based on the promises in the Word. If God promises me healing and I receive that, then, yeah, faith is now. But hope is what gets me through until it's manifested. Because sometimes, as we know, our healings don't happen immediately. Sometimes it's gradual. And hope is what gets me through until God manifests that full healing. And, of course, what is our ultimate hope? Let me rephrase that. What is our blessed hope?
Return of Jesus.
Exactly. That's the ultimate hope that we have. We have the hope of heaven. That, and I really believe, you know, that sustains me a lot. Just knowing that, like Cindy, you had said it before, we go through all this stuff, on earth, the trials, the testing, and all that stuff. And yet, the one thing is I still have hope. And, you know, you think about what Paul wrote about Abraham. Okay? He was 75, and God gave him the promise of a son. It took 24 years for that to be realized. Abraham was 99 years old, and Paul writes in Romans that that Abraham hoped against hope. He didn't ignore the fact, or, you know, just poo-poo the fact that he was in his 80s and 90s at this time, that his body was worn out, and that Sarah, who was 90 at the time Isaac was born, I mean, that's well past childbearing years. He didn't ignore that. He realized it, but he still hoped in God. He held on to that promise with hope. And he said, you know what? God's told me this. I'm holding on to it with hope. I'm hoping against hope. And the Bible says what he did was his faith grew as he gave praise and thanks to God.
Well, I think that's such an example of what we need to be doing. You know, when God has made promises to us, we need to hope on all hope, and, you know, and our trust in him will increase as we are hoping and waiting for the fulfillment of whatever he has said to us.
Right. And again, hoping is not passive. You know, it's, you know, Abraham, it says, you know, his faith grew as he praised God, as he gave glory to God. Mm-hmm. So if you want that hope to be strengthened, you have to do something, and praising God, being thankful, is always a wonderful thing to do. I mean, that's what we're told to do. That's what makes it, that's what helps us to grow, and what energizes our hope. And hope is what feeds our faith. Mm. Hope keeps our faith alive. If I lose hope, I mean, Cindy, have you ever been hopeless? Has there ever been a time when you didn't have hope?
There's been many times that I have felt hopeless, that there was no way out or no way up until God intervened and either put someone in my path, sent someone to my life, or reminded me in some way that he was there, that there is hope.
Amen, amen. Great, because that's exactly where I was going with that.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking about all morning in prayer, is the story of my life. Wow. You know, we can get to that as we talk on, but that hope has just been a living thing my entire life because of the people he's put in my path.
Right.
Or that, you know, he found a way to make sure I knew. I knew that he was there, even from a very small child.
I was just remembering the first time I met you. We were in the hotel. I believe it was the hotel, and you just showed up, and we're standing in the back, and I kind of nudged past her, going, who is this woman standing? Who is this blonde lady in the back? And it was you. You'd come down to Florida.
I just told that story to one of my customers the other day, Pastor.
Did you?
How coincidental is that? Yeah, I told them the same story because they had a similar blessing.
Okay.
A meeting of friends after 30-some-odd years, so, yeah, that's how God works.
Amen.
That seed was planted so many years ago to stay connected to Pastor Marcia and then to meet you new folks in the church and just enrich my life so many years later.
Exactly, and, you know, God does nothing without purpose. You know, everything God does is purposeful. And, you know, again, that gives me hope. That nothing takes God by surprise. You know, nothing that I do or that happens to me takes God by surprise. It's not like, oh, man, I dropped the ball on Jim. How'd that happen? You know, that gives me hope because I know that God has it in control. I like to look at the future that, you know, God's already been there. Okay, I remember back when I was in college, there were these religious posters. They were long and skinny, and usually there was something at the top, and then at the bottom it was always like a kind of a silhouette of a cross. And one of them said, I'm afraid of the future, and at the bottom it was, don't worry, I've already been there. And that, you know, that has stuck with me, well, these now, what, 40-some-odd years. Because that's so true. And that gives me hope. I don't have to, God isn't going to be surprised. That's an anchor for me, is that, you know, God isn't surprised by anything we do, whether it be really good or in some cases really stupid, as I've been known to do stupid things before. It doesn't take God by surprise. And he's always there. He's not going to leave us. The promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What better promise, you know? What better?
That is the greatest thing to hold on to when we know we've screwed up and we know we've been stupid and we've made that dumb choice. But even in the midst of it, we know God's going to forgive me for this because, yeah, I failed him or I'm stupid, but I know he's going to be there to... You know, he might thank me, but he's going to be there, and it's all going to be okay.
Right, and, you know, sometimes I think we kind of limit God in that respect because we think our screw-up is too big for him to correct. And, you know, we're not that powerful, okay? We're just not that powerful that no matter how badly we screw up, God is still bigger and can still change that around. And you know what? And I'm going to use this next song as kind of a prelude to my testimony. I told Dan and Cindy to be ready with their testimonies today because I just might call on them for that. But one of the things that brought me to Jesus, and this is back in 1973, was biblical prophecy. And the second coming of Jesus. We've mentioned it already as the blessed hope. The biggest hope we have is the return of Jesus. So I want to use this song by Christian Stanfield, Even So Come.
For the Lord, Jesus is come. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus.
Song. I say that always, though. I say that after every song, though, don't I? Nan has something for us.
My son is coming so soon. Are you ready to meet him? You can keep your eyes open, but in the meantime, depend upon him. My son is coming soon. He loves you so very much. He is always here for you. Of this you can believe. It is such. My son is coming so soon. Will you wait for him this hour? You will be so pleased and blessed. Lean upon him for your power. You know, lean upon him for your power and wait for him this hour. You know, he's coming soon. We know that. The word tells us that. The signs of the time tell us that. We know he's coming soon. But to be able to, we can rely upon him as our Savior until the time that he comes.
Amen. Amen. That can be tricky, especially depending on your own outlook on the end times. This is Pastor Jim, not Beacon so much as just Pastor Jim. But Pastor Jim believes we're going to be here through the entirety of the tribulation, except the very end. And, you know, I've believed that for a long time, which actually gets into my testimony a little bit. But it's very true, because some people think, some Christians and, you know, good Christians believe we're not going to be here for that time of testing. And I pray that they will not be swept away in that when that occurs, because, you know, if we've been promised we'll be out of here before we see any of the tribulation or the rise of the Antichrist or any of that, what's going to happen when it happens? You know, where's your faith going to be at that point? And back when I was in high school, back at the end of the very end of the 60s, early 70s, for those of you that aren't familiar with that time period, yes, we did have radio and television and eventually 8-track tapes during that time. But it was very fashionable, at least in my high school, to be, I would say, pseudo-atheist. And, you know, you just kind of question God's existence and all that. And while I was doing this, I was going to church nearly every Sunday. I was president of the youth group at church. And, you know, it was a denominational, a major denominational church. And, but it, we kept having a string of liberal pastors who I don't think they believed in the resurrection. I'm not sure. Because I remember when the original Jesus Christ Superstar came out, then, you know, we listened to it as a youth group. That was our activity. We listened to Jesus Christ Superstar. And the pastor asked us, the minister asked us, well, what's missing? And if you've seen Jesus Christ Superstar, if you've listened to the music, you know what's missing, and it's the resurrection. That's not included. Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber did not put the resurrection in Jesus Christ Superstar. But I remember after we got done listening to, you know, to the rock opera, the minister asked, well, what's missing? And none of us could answer him. We had no clue, which is really kind of frightening when you get right down to it, that none of us could figure out that it was the resurrection that was missing. Well, just before I went to college, and I know you probably heard, Pastor and I went to the same college, just years apart, but we had a minister, a new minister, an older gentleman. I just loved him. He was really good. He actually let me preach before I got saved. I think he thought I was saved, but I wasn't. I mean, I'd gone to church camp, and, you know, if you grew up in a Methodist or a Baptist or Lutheran, you know, any big denomination, you know, every summer you went to church camp. And if you went to church camp one night, I think in the Methodist church, which is what I grew up in, I think it was Thursday night, was revival night, where they'd have somebody come in and literally try to scare the hell out of you. And you would walk the sawdust trail. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go up and you know, get saved at the altar. So I must have gotten saved about 6 times when I was a kid. Every year I went, because there was no follow-up. There was no, I didn't really understand what I was doing, and there was no follow-up. So every year I thought I better go back up there and make sure I was saved. A couple of other things that'll play into this shortly is I used to be terrified of tornadoes. I mean, literally, you can ask my sister, I would literally have panic attacks if there was a tornado warning. And we lived in central Indiana, so we got a number of those. You know, and so I was, you know, definitely afraid of those. And I remember some neighbors down the street, they were very conservative Christians, and they talked about the end of the world and the world burning up with fire and all this. And the town where I lived had just installed halogen lamps, street lamps. And you guys know if it's cloudy or foggy, that glow makes the sky turn what color? Kind of a reddish pink. So that happened one night, and I was just convinced Jesus is coming back and I'm going to hell. So, you know, I had those fears. And then the pastor that we did have, I'd gotten interested in Bible prophecy through a Christian friend of mine. I read The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, 666 and 1000 by Salem Kerbin. Nan's shaking her head. She knows what I'm talking
about. I had that 666 book.
I bet you did. I did too. Bible prophecy just fascinated me. And so my minister said, well, when you go up to college, you need to join Campus Crusade for Christ. And I'm thinking, yeah, when I get up to college, that's the last thing I'm going to do. So I get up to Ball State, get in my dorm, to my residence hall. We call them residence halls there. I get to my residence hall, and in my residence hall was one of the leaders of Campus Crusade for Christ, who was throwing a Bible study, you know, who held a Bible study, and my student staff, that's what we called them there, resident assistant, was in that and invited me to come to this Bible study. I thought I'd give it a whirl. So you could tell I was excited, right? Mm-hmm. So here I am. I go to this Campus Crusade for Christ Bible study, and I enjoyed it. I really liked it. Started going to all these Campus Crusade activities and even went out and witnessed to people. Now, mind you, I probably was saved at this point, but I just still didn't quite get it. And one day, there was like the entire residence hall had emptied out. There wasn't a soul in sight. Nowhere. So Roger, who was the Campus Crusade, one of the leaders, asked me if I had anything I wanted to talk about. And the Bible study that we had done that week was on the sower and the seed. And I said, you know, God's been dealing with me. I think I'm like part rocky, part weedy. You know, remembering that the seed that fell upon the rocks, seed that fell among the weeds. So we prayed that day, and that was October 30th, 1973. I still remember it. In the study hall, the study room, on the third floor, fourth floor of Clevenger Hall at Ball State, I asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. And this time I understood. And this time God provided a foundation for my faith. And it's been sometimes a very rocky road since then. I was accused of being a Jesus freak. Ha! I was. What can I say? And then the year following that, I had a good friend who was involved in a charismatic Bible study. And fortunately, I already knew a couple of guys that were Pentecostal and spoke in tongues. So it didn't, wasn't any big deal. But he gave me a book to read about speaking in tongues and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had to work twice. At the residence hall, we had like front desk where you handed out pool cues and odds and ends and whatever. So I had two shifts, open and close. I took that book with me, and it's like, again, it wasn't busy. So I had plenty of time, and I had my Bible, and I was flipping through my Bible and making sure this guy knew what he was talking about. And that next morning, I got up, and I love this. And whenever we talk more about the baptism, this will make a little bit more sense. But nobody was there. It wasn't emotional. Some people think you got to get all worked up. I just simply prayed, you know what, God, this is true. I see it in the Word. I see it in the Bible. This is true. It's for me, and I want it. I want this. Next thing I knew, I was, speaking in another language. Don't know what it was, but praise God. And there's been times since then when, I walked away from God. A couple of major times just because of things that had happened in my life. But like Cindy had said earlier, we can screw up, and yet God's still there, still wanting to draw us back into fellowship with Him, which is a great thing. You know, God wants us to be in fellowship with Him. And even when we mess up, and I mean I messed up, I basically... I tried to renounce God. I tried to walk away from Jesus. He lets you out on kind of a little leash, and then he starts pulling you back in. And that's what happened. I could not fully get away from him. And I praise God for that, because you know, I don't know where I'd be if it hadn't been for the love of, you know, for the love of Jesus and him drawing me back.